Do you want to know how to make your very own home sexy movie? Today we find out how, and also realize that taking a good look at ourselves on film can be surprisingly informative. Next, we reveal the delightful story of flirtation, from fiction to fact, the world's most popular prelude to lovemaking. In the Hindu tradition, Matangi is the ninth great cosmic power, who is a divine expression of femininity, playfulness, and spontaneity. We conclude today's podcast with a meditation of communion with Matangi, whose sublime state of inner freedom might be very helpful for those who have the courage to overcome the limits of conventionality and foolish prejudices. Amaris and Tiger Lily will be your hosts for the day.
Welcome to Tantra FM, a step into bliss. I'm your host, Amaris. Watching ourselves by making a sexy video. Taking a good look at ourselves on film can be surprisingly revealing. Self-reflections. Psychologists use the word narcissism to describe the love we have for our own appearance. Some people can't resist looking in every mirror or shop window they pass. Sometimes this is because they're so sure they look wonderful. For others, however, exactly the opposite is true. They're constantly worried about their unattractiveness and seek almost constant reassurance. Again, this applies to sexy video making. For those who are pleased with their looks and sexuality, a video provides a record that they can cherish and replay in those moments when their confidence is not so high. For the underconfident, it offers an opportunity to assess what their good qualities really are, and if they're honest and flexible, what they might be able to change. Learning some lessons. It is possible to learn quite a lot from watching your own sexy video. Perhaps you take the lead too much. Or you may discover that you look a lot sexier than you thought you did, and so on. All of this is useful to the couple that wants to grow and change together. But when we make a sexy video, we don't just act out our real selves. We also act out a part. This can mean that things are enhanced in various ways, from the careful application of the makeup to the doing of things that we normally wouldn't do. A video can portray a sexier than normal self to the camera, and this can be a real morale booster, both at the time and later on. But for most couples who make a sexy video, the best part is being able to watch one another in a way that is impossible when actually making love, even with mirrors. Equipment know-how. The starting point, as in real filmmaking, is to familiarize yourself with the equipment. Don't try to film yourselves the first time around, but practice on the kids in the local park or whatever interests you. Then try a test session in which you experiment with various techniques. Learn to cope with the lighting. Work out ways of fixing the camera so that both of you can at least be in some shots, and so on. Don't worry about wasting tape because it's possible to record straight over what you've already shot. Finally, spend time practicing moving the camera. Most amateurs move the camera too much, too fast or too often. Holding a shot for longer is usually better, especially if you're going to edit a variety of shots together later on. Erotic material should be filmed slowly, revealing your lover's body in the most teasing way possible. The story of your movie. When you've mastered the equipment, the next stage is to carefully plan what the movie will be about. Decide on a storyline and create something that is of erotic interest to both of you. Plan it out scene by scene, ensuring that the story has a beginning, middle, and an end. Start off simple. Don't try to mimic TV on your first effort, or you'll be so anxious about being a good film producer that you'll miss out on the fun. Make sure you both have a say in building up the storyline together. On location. Choosing the location is the next step. Obviously, this will dictate what your story can be about, but don't make it too complicated. Concentrate on the erotic action rather than on the lavish settings. Choose the parts of your house or garden that look the best. Do some test shots and think about how you might shoot certain scenes. Be creative about where you put the camera, stand on a chair, lie on the floor and point it upwards, shooting through a window or open door to frame the shot, and so on. As you progress, you'll get the feel of it and begin to make some interesting effects that are a pleasure to look at, as well as erotic. A poor quality, visually boring blue film can end up destroying any original eroticism. Props and wardrobe. Next, work through your storyline and see what props and clothes you'll need. Choosing the right clothes can be a whole session in and of itself, which may well lead to lovemaking. There are numerous possibilities for women, so choose what you feel most comfortable in. Get out all the props you'll need for your story: massage oil, sex toys, fruits, furs, and so on. On the day of the shooting, take your clothes off at least an hour in advance. This ensures that your tight-fitting clothes don't leave marks on your body. There's nothing very erotic about rings from tights around a woman's tummy or jeans creases around a man's waist. Body oils can be effective if you're tanned, but makeup should be used sparingly unless you're trying to create a special effect. And let the film roll. However well you've prepared things, certain problems will always arise, and you'll have to make the best of whatever happens. Often the impromptu events can turn out to be the hits of the film. Keep the script handy and generally stick to it, although you should feel free to take a new turn if something seems fun and looks good. Slavishly following the script can make you lose much of the eroticism that would be normal between you two. After all, you're only trying to make an erotic movie that will please you and become part of your lovemaking in the future. Things that are very good to be recorded are the woman stripping, her stripping him, and of course any kind of lovemaking once you get to that stage. Slowly zoom in on the breasts, bottom, or genitals in a tantalizing way, concentrating on the best things last of all. When it comes to both of you being in the action together, you'll have to set up the camera, and then the director will have to walk into the shot. Most people don't have the editing facilities, but if you do, this can make the whole thing look much more professional, because you can choose the shots and edit them together in an erotic way. Make a date to look through the material you've shot and then choose how you will assemble it to the best effect. The premiere. When the movie's finished, plan a date for both of you to hold a premiere. Have a meal together, to relax, and then, in the living room or the bedroom, show the final result. Most couples want to act out some of the key scenes from the film as the temperature rises through the evening. Watching the film can be the subject of the next movie. So increase your sexual appetite by watching yourself on an erotic movie. Flirting, the prelude to lovemaking. Ralph Vey was looking for equivalents for the English flirting in a famous book. Courtship, madness, making out, frivolous love, coquetry, a little bit of everything. The English verb to flirt means to move something fast up and down and back and forth. One of the most spiritual English writers of the 18th century, Count Chesterfield, tells us about being there when the new meaning was born. The lady who used first the current meaning was Lady Frances Shirley. Quote, "I was there when this very important word appeared on the most charming lips," end quote. The lovely Frances was opening and then closing her fan. Was hiding her face behind it or only her eyes? When her lover jokingly reproached her for her seductive provocations, she innocently replied that it was a simple flirtation, a simple fan wave. And so the new meaning was born, and women all over the world tried hard to enrich its meanings. It became richer and richer, until it ended up being so complicated that nowadays it's used in many different ways. Flirting has no scientific explanation yet. And we're not being ironic. A lot of scientists have tried to define it, but have not been able to do so. We can't deny its existence, so an explanation must be found. Iwan Block defines it in opposition to coquetry. Coquetry regards only senses, not taking into account the spiritual relation between a man and a woman. Flirting, on the other hand, is the spiritualized relative of coquetry. Woman uses especially spiritual weapons. According to Swiss Forel, the coquette woman wants first of all to be liked, and only afterwards to be conquered. Flirting is for bringing up love. The author enumerates these means in details and states the fact that flirting depends very much on vision and touching. The most important being the language of the eyes, because the eyes tell a lot of secrets and can make miracles. Touching means shaking hands, being close, or apparently accidental touching. Somewhere where people are crowded, you can feel the language of knees and feet, or it's become useless for the couple. American H.T. Fink states the difference between flirting and coquetting as well. Coquetry is the need to be liked. The woman wants to conquer, and there is no other aim but to enjoy that. Just like the skinflint who doesn't do anything with his money, but just piles them up for their own sake. Flirting is a very innocent game. Hence the saying, innocent flirting, but cruel coquetry. In order to enhance the characteristics of flirting, the author reminds us of some types of women. Arrogant, inflexible, hypocritical. These women answer a man's questions with a no, even if they think yes. On the other hand, the coquette woman accepts even if she doesn't really want to. What about flirting? She smiles and all she says is maybe. In the end, our wise man concludes with a short definition of flirting. Flirting is an art where a woman puts a spell on a man and captivates him. And yet he has no idea if she loves him or not. In the Hindu tradition, Matangi is a ninth great cosmic power. Her feminine, playful, spontaneous, and divine expression. Her sublime state of inner freedom can be very helpful for the one who wishes and has the courage to discover and overcome the limits of conventionality and foolish prejudices. The worship of this great cosmic power will support the efforts of any ardent follower of the tantric path. She reveals the highest knowledge of this world. There is a level that can be related to the so-called impurity, which is symbolically assigned to Matangi. Our divine essential nature, the Supreme Self, Atman, transcends the laws of nature, and it is eternally beyond good and evil. We will face these residues of duality and won't be able to reach the divine, immaculate, and perfectly non-dual transcendence as long as we remain attached to the impurities, mala, of the manifested word. From this point of view, Matangi can be truly helpful, as she represents, among others, the attribute of knowledge that leads us to the truth. Thus, her grace helps the sincere and devoted worshipper to transcend the limits and impure conventions of the manifested world. Another essential aspect of Matangi is that she ecstatically reveals the highest metaphysical knowledge, even in this manifested world, which is considered impure when compared to the unmanifested, the divine transcendence. We can say that Matangi is the first great cosmic power and deity that allows the knowledge of her great powers through direct revelation to the sincere and devoted aspirants. According to the Upanishads, the essence of the human expression is speech, or, in other words, the things we say out loud. Thus, what we express in words is the outcome of all that we intake from our life at the level of conception and experience. This final residue, and in the meantime the representation of what we are, by the means of speech, is in fact the manifestation of the great cosmic power, Matangi. But we must say that this final synthesis of our being is not common speech, but rather the most profound expression of our soul. At a universal level, the divine logos manifests some essential characteristics like power, feeling, and passion that are identified with the endless divine bliss itself, Ananda, and not only with the limited emotions from the expression scale. Consequently, the divine logos is not only a statement or theoretical or practical aspect, but also an alive and effervescent expression of energy and ecstatic happiness. This bliss, Ananda, is another aspect of Matangi that is very active, passionate, and perfectly happy in this divine play of manifestation. She reveals the dazzling beauty of creation. Matangi impersonates the great powers of nature. Thus, she personifies the wild beauty, the abstraction, mystery, and hidden power of the tropical jungle, where she symbolized by a strong and active elephant, thus reflecting the primary rhythms of nature. From this point of view, Matangi's forms of expression are similar to the ones that characterize Tripura Sundari. Matangi represents the dazzling beauty of creation as an expression of the essential self. But while in the case of Tripura Sundari, this beauty manifests especially as an inner experience at the level of the conscience, the prevailing expression of Matangi is an objective, exterior one. In the Tantric pantheon, Matangi has the position of a prime minister among the other deities, as she is the counselor of the great cosmic power Tripura Sundari, the supreme queen of the entire creation. In this aspect, Matangi is called Mantrini, as she has the supreme power and supremacy over all mantras, especially when they are uttered. Thus, she confers the ability to communicate with all the other deities by the means of mantras. Moreover, we can say that she governs over all types of knowledge, and therefore, she is a precious advisor and teacher on this path. Those who want recognition in this area should fervently worship Matangi. Hello and welcome to Tantra FM, the light that sets you free. I'm your host, Amaris. Let us perform a meditation with the following theme: communion with the great cosmic force of universal order, Matangi. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the aspect we're meditating upon, we shall use proper musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight, or assume a meditation pose such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana, or Padmasana. For those of you that are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, your neck, and your head are in an upward position, and they form a straight line. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you're bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you're eliminating all tension, stress, and anything else that might disturb you right now. Now we're ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the following aspect: communion with the great cosmic force of universal order, Matangi. Let us begin. Thank you.
That's all we have time for today. I'm Tiger Lily, wishing you love and light.